The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
You have issues.
I do have issues. It's Sunday morning and my eyes are open.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, happy rodeo weekend, everybody. It is rodeo weekend, isn't it?
You know what? I just realized that I actually scheduled the editor of Range Magazine on rodeo weekend.
Of course you did.
Accidentally.
That's how good you are.
I did it accidentally. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You are joining We the People Radio again on a kooky Sunday morning. As we race in and do
kookiness rules on Sunday morning.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's like, get the chairs, turn on the air conditioning. The chaos. So,
here we are.
Another week down, eh? All right. So, we are chatting and streaming live. If you go to wethepeopleradio.us, you can admire the handiwork of Robert Exter, our webmaster, who just does a great job. And even with my... tardy submissions of information. What? You didn't do it?
I was going for the I thought you were going for the dagger.
The bayonet.
Oh, the bayonet.
It's
yeah.
The bayonet. Wow. The bayonet comes later.
Yeah, okay. I was putting my...
We have to have the chat room fully involved before we bring out the bayonet.
I was putting my guard up.
Oh, next week we're talking to J.D. King, actually, about his new film, Blue, The End of Green. Which I enjoyed because I had to go to bed listening to some crap about global warming.
Keeping Tahoe blue.
The old global warming.
Yeah, I like that. I need a bumper sticker.
I know. Stop global warming. Anyway, yeah, Coast to Coast Radio loaded my mind full of trash before I went to bed.
Man, they were on a green stint last night,
they were
let
too.
Me tell you.
Yucky. So anyway...
So here we are.
Phone. Let's see. We should give out the phone number. Not that anyone uses it, but it's just fun to say.
All right, folks, don't pile up on the phone lines and jam them up again.
Hey, everybody's relaxed on Sunday morning. People go, why doesn't anyone ever call your show? Isn't anyone listening? I'm like, hey, they're listening.
Hey, they're listening.
They're just relaxed.
They're so enthralled, they can't remember the number.
We asked all the stupid questions, so they didn't have to.
I only give the number out about a half dozen times. It's not enough to really for them to remember.
Repetitively?
That's
actually,
right.
I forget about it most of the time.
Yeah. And I'm not begging.
So chatting and streaming live is wethepeopleradio.us, along with our archives, actually. And if you missed last week's program on the Oakland VA, that's not good. Because you know what? You're going to start hearing about some of that information in the news, actually.
Oh boy.
That's coming.
It's coming. The hammer is getting ready to fall.
The hammer is getting ready to drop.
It's actually going to be more like a blunt axe.
Ouch.
In the cranium.
Like
right between the
eyes. I was kind of hoping you'd get one of those words wrong so I could like have some fun there. I was anticipating some sort of misstep. I got nothing out of it.
A little malaprop there? No, I'll come up with one for you.
Let's see. That was May 11th. That was Mother's Day. And the show is entitled Oakland Regional VA Office, Delay, Deny, and Count How Many Have Died. And the number is fairly high, by the way. That's not in the title.
Serious matter.
But that's on the right-hand side in the archives, and just on the page, you've got a listen live button. You can click that and join us on the chat, except I can't seem to make mine work, so maybe it'll do better for you than it does for me. What's going on over there,
still
Bob?
Still having chat issues. CJ is ready to join us, and she has joined us, in fact.
Nice. And I had a bio of hers that I was actually going to... Where the heck is it?
CJ is the editor of Range Magazine, one
Bill's
of my favorite.
I know, we love this magazine.
I love this magazine. It has the greatest stories in it, and it hits you right between the eyes with the truth and nothing but the truth.
And you know, a lot of people think it's just for people who live in the rural parts of the country, but I guess that's why we were thinking this is a great
if you have anybody that doesn't quite get anything from Agenda 21 to wolves, to anything, you send them this magazine, and they'll be on your side.
And it's interesting that I had to go to bed listening to some stupid program on global warming, because interestingly enough, part of CJ's bio is she's a former Brit born in the most polluted city in Europe during World War II, Birmingham, England.
Can you call her Brit?
The city of steel and coal. She says former.
Oh.
So, she's former.
All right.
CJ, are you hiding in there?
I'm right here, babe.
Oh, no.
Well, our good friend, oops. No, I can't hear anything. Bob, there we go.
You're fine.
Our good friend Liz Bowen up north. She says you got to talk to her. This is going to be super fun. I'm like, okay.
Oh my, overselling.
Oh no.
I've heard it's not overselling actually. And you know, we totally love this magazine, but have no history of where this came from or how you got started with it and. So we didn't ask any questions ahead of time because we just wanted to be surprised.
Well, Range, I used to run Nevada Magazine for 10 years from 75 to 85. I'd come out of New York. I worked for Car and Driver. I freelanced for Sports Illustrated, covered rodeo for years, did a couple of booklets for Winston Cigarette Company to promote rodeo in the early 70s. And I got a little reputation about suddenly caring for rural communities because I really am an urban person. And in 1989, a couple of cowboys asked John Esquaga, who owns John Esquaga's Nugget in Sparks, Nevada, a big casino. He was the son of a back sheep herder, and they said, we need somebody to send a brochure to members of Congress to tell them the cowboys are not the bad guys. Who can we get to do that? Well, John Esquaga knew me from Nevada Magazine, so he said, well, you ought to have CJ do it. Well, at the time, I was doing international travel writing like Siberia, New Zealand, Fiji, Germany, wherever I wanted to go, and I was kind of loose. So we had breakfast 6 o'clock in the morning, and they said, we need to send a brochure to Congress. We want to tell them about grazing fees, because grazing fees was the issue in the early 90s. Because the cattlemen out here could not function with the amount of money that Bruce Babbitt's boys and wanted the fee to go to. So I said, okay, tell me what I need to do, because I knew nothing about cowboys at the time. They said, we pick 5 cattle ranches, 1 sheep ranch, and we just need 500 copies to go to Congress. We want it 32 pages. We want it full color. And I said, that's insane. You can get 20,000 copies for the same amount of money for the 500, because it's the base that costs all the money and putting it on the press and preparing it and all that. And they looked at me and they said, okay, we'll take 20,000 copies. Well, I was kind of impressed by that, because that's a hell of a leap. And so I said, okay, where are we going to send them all, you know? And they said, well, we'll send them to the federal land states, to, you know, Wyoming cattlemen, Montana, you know, all of the western states that deal with federal issues. So we put that product out, and I found out I had a moment of discovery that was horrifying. I thought they were talking about, you know, cost of cows and sheep on the land. What I found out in each ranch was a different story every time. The first one was the Walking Box in Southern Nevada, and it was it used to be owned by Rex Bell, who was lieutenant governor in Nevada, and he married the It Girl from Hollywood in the 30s, Clara Bow, and it was a very famous ranch. What happened at that ranch, they had 1 5/16 inches of rain the prior year, but it wasn't drought that was the problem, which you would think would be the problem.
Yeah.
It was Desert Tortoise, the Nature Conservancy, taking ranches out of production in the name of a desert tortoise that they said cattle were stepping on. That did not turn out to be the truth, but we still are suffering from that.
Things haven't changed much.
It hasn't changed much, and that we can come to that later, because that's fascinating. But then another ranch I went to was the T-Quarter Circle in Winnemucca. And they had Desert Range, Winter Range, and it was above the sand hills north of Winnemucca towards the Oregon border. And they were supposed to have 80 head of feral horses on their Winter Range, and they had 1,300. Well, when they put their cattle out to graze in the winter, the horses would not let the cattle get to the water sources, which the rancher had paid for and developed. So within 2 days, 200 or 300 head of cattle were right there at the fences for the ranch, and they had nowhere to feed them. And it took about 5 or 6 years for the ranch to sue the BLM to remove horses that were not supposed to be there. That was, you know, tens and tens of thousands of dollars and a lot of agony. Then I went up to Salmon River Cattlemen's in Elko County. And what was happening there is Fish and Game was saying that the cows were eating the all of the mule deer habitat. Well, it turned out that wasn't true either. I went to a sheep outfit in Austin, and it was pulling Chaspi, a good old Basco. And what they were complaining about with Pauline Chowsby is the recreationists from California were going into Big Smoky Valley, I believe it is. It's south of Austin. And it was a beautiful place to camp and fish in the summer. But they didn't like the fact there were sheep bounds up there, so they complained and wanted to remove the sheep. So it went on and on and on and on. And my revelation was extreme. I said, this is not a grazing fee problem. It's urban encroachment, it's environmental innocence, it's endangered species, it's wetlands, it's takings. And I just was hit in the head with a bloody two-by-four. And when the 20,000 brochures that we sent out to all the other states, they said, this is good, we ought to do some more. So I turned it into a magazine rather than a brochure. And now we've done almost 90 issues and quarterly issues and 10 hardback books and
special reports
I can't count, you know, on water and endangered species and nature conservancy and things like that. And it's most of it's on the website rangemagazine.com, so you can see a phenomenal amount of work for some really good writers who I was, you know, happy to collect over these last 25 years.
And you don't have a shortage of material, do you?
Not really, but the trouble is the material is rather depressing and it's very sad. Because no matter how hard we fight, somebody's still going to come out. Those agriculturalists, the farmers and ranchers and loggers, you know that well from where you are.
Oh, yeah.
But it's endless. It is cruel and unusual punishment. It is completely wrong. The Equal Access to Justice Act gives environmental groups money back when they sue a federal agency to destroy ranching and farming, and the ranchers and farmers left hole in the bag with probably no livelihood and no money to pay lawyers. So it's an ugly, ugly time.
But, you know, I think that's what really attracts me to your magazine, even though it is depressing. You tackle these issues head on. You don't pull any punches. You lay the facts out there. And, I mean, if people want to argue with them, let them argue with the facts. I mean, it's cut and dry. I love that.
I have no problem with being criticized. Some beautiful names I've been called. My former editor at Sports Illustrated called me and said, I'm nothing but a right-wing Nazi. I said, please put that in writing so I can print it, but he was too chicken to do it. And another couple of ranchers were out on vacation in Kona, Hawaii, and they sold their ranch to the Nature Conservancy conservation easements, and they were very happy and doing just fine. But they saw my magazine, and it happened to have a raptor on the cover, a big, beautiful hawk, and they thought it was Audubon's magazine, and they just looked at that, and they were horrified at what was inside that. And so they wrote to me, and they said,
totally misleading.
This was lovely, my favorite quote of all time. CJ and Range readers are nothing but Shepla, cousin marrying Shepla shopping troglodytes. I printed that one several times. I like it.
Yeah, cousin marrying always catches your eye, doesn't it?
Oh, it certainly does. And I did shop at Shepla's at the time, so you know, and it was funny, and I really enjoyed it. And some of the cowboys who were on my board at the time, they said, "Why do you print hate letters?" I said, "I love them. Bring it on." You know, I get so many protectors when I get an obnoxious letter.
Oh, I can only imagine the mail you must get from some of these articles. It's
but you know, the folks that are dealing with these issues and understand them, especially the people on the ground dealing with them, not just like folks like us who, you know, live outside, a little bit outside the blast zone, and we're just doing what we can from where we are. The folks on the ground just absolutely are passionate about your magazine.
Well, I think that's absolutely lovely because it is for them.
It's the only voice they have. I mean,
well, that's incredibly sad because here I am, an old English woman who, you know, pretty much a left-wing liberal socialist from New York City. I mean, here I am, poor things, you know. But I'm doing the best I can.
Well, you know, I was always told that if people are passionate, even on the wrong side, if you can just get them the information and they switch teams, they will be equally passionate on your side. So you're a great example of that.
And also, I want to compliment you on the cover art, too. The magazine itself is just gorgeous. I mean, you look at every issue that comes out. I don't know who your photographers are, but they do a phenomenal job on some of these covers. They're really beautiful.
photographers come from all over, and my art director is John Bardwell. And Bardwell and I go back to 1975. He was the art director at Nevada Magazine when I took over in, at that year, and we're still working together. It'll be 40 years next year. We both believe that the reader is more important than the art. So even though we want good art, we still want it to be really easy to read. We don't use every bell and whistle on a Macintosh. You know, we don't want all those shadings and circles. And we just keep it really simple.
I think
it's better that way.
Yeah, I think that's what makes it better. It's real. You know, it's. I mean, you got to see it to
well,
really
plus you have people that folks that follow the issues about land use. I mean, just in general land use, and how the conservancies and the green movement and the, you know, giant lies that are being told. And the folks who live in the urban areas don't know the difference.
No.
But you have Michael Kaufman in almost every issue. And the only time you really get to hear from him much is if he writes a book.
Mike is absolutely extraordinary. He has done so much with the last 30, 40 years. He's been an academic. He's been a consultant. He is so good at so many sciences. He's got all kinds of degrees. And he is absolutely just passionate about this global warming stuff. And there's so much nonsense coming out of Washington, and it's even worse in the last 30 days, that this is the most important thing in the world's history. And we don't agree with that. And we've got so many things that point to the fact it is a way to make money. It is a way to control people. It is a way to spread the wealth. It is not a way to solve anything. They're using the wrong reasons. Nothing makes any sense. So we hammer that fairly often, because a lot of people, we've got some converts, but there's still a lot of people arguing with it. And I can't see wasting all this money for something that's esoteric. It's just a bad thing. And Kaufman is on that. The other thing that Kaufman is brilliant at is UN. And Henry Lamb used to cover that for us, and we lost Henry a couple of years ago. He followed the UN for like 50 years. It was brilliant stuff, but Mike is continuing with that. I don't know whether you recall, but I think it was last summer. He did a thing called Disintegration of Consensus. And the Europe had just swallowed whole, you know, solar and wind energy. And they found out after many, a decade or more of absolute grief and huge expense, that it doesn't make any sense. It loses jobs. It costs money. It doesn't get any energy. People are going to freeze to death. Even England, they're starting adding coal, more coal. They're trying to not close power plants because there's nothing to power them with. The British are going to be dying by the thousands if they don't get real about renewable energy, which is not working well enough to count on yet.
No,
it's actually doing a terrible job. And then you look at the we'll call them unintended consequences, I guess. You know, you have the solar thing that burned up all the birds, the one with
the mirrors. Yeah,
all the mirrors, and the birds thought they were a lake, so they landed on them and died. It's like, you know, the environmental community thinks that there are actually options that have no flip side. Just, I don't know, defies logic.
Well, the stories in this magazine are about real people, real situations. And you can totally, the way they're written, you can just totally relate to them. And when you're done with these stories, you understand why people are so upset with these bureaucracies. I don't know, there was one I read here not too awful long ago about a cow. And you probably remember, CJ.
Was it called Obama Cow?
I think it was. Where
it was Lee Pitts, who is absolutely beautiful. He lives in Morro Bay, California.
Oh, that story!
And I have one of his columns in every issue, and he's got a beautiful sense of humor. But he just strikes the heart about what the issue is, and he does it so well. And it was, I thought that was splendid.
Oh, it was a great story. You know, the short of it was, this cow, it cost millions of dollars. The environmentalists got involved with trying to move the cow, feed the cow, get the cow in the right range, and in the end, the cow died. So it was a great story, but it's typical of what so many of these bureaucracies are doing with the taxpayers' money. It's sad.
It is sad. And every day I'm inundated with emails, thousands and thousands, I am thousands and thousands behind, because what happens to me is I have nobody working with me on editorial, and there's only, we just hired our second staffer, and it's a national magazine. We got 170,000 readers. We're in every state of the union, 23 foreign countries. And for, an old woman and a one and a half people to put it out is kind of tough. So I get kind of behind with all of the information that's coming in. And somebody told me last week, it's about time, CJ, you figured out the difference between intel and information. And I haven't learned that yet, because I think every single piece of paper from an academic, from a Fed, from an environmentalist, from a reader, from a do-gooder, from a Mustang lover, that I ought to read them, because they've always got information that you can use, but it's just too much. I can't. I'm way, way out of my depth here.
Well, let's face it. As the government ramps up its onslaught, nobody can follow all of it. It's just impossible.
Yeah, that's true.
I was... just to highlight one of Michael Kaufman's articles that's in there, Climate Fraud and the Decline of America. I thought that was a great one. This is back, this is in the winter issue of 2012-2013. The subtitle on it is, the more that research shows mankind is not causing most global warming, the more shrill the warming alarmists become. Worse, our public schools are teaching our kids that man-caused warming is an absolute fact. And now
that's unfortunately what's happening.
Yeah, you look at the policy that's coming out now and the ramp-up of the panic. And interesting. I mean, this article is about a year early.
Kaufman's been writing that for me for probably about 12 years, maybe 15. And he keeps dishing it up in a different way, so hopefully we can get a few more believers. Because, as he said, the shrill cries of these activists, it's a PR campaign that will destroy us. It will destroy us. It will hurt us. It will cost money. It will kill dreams. Every single thing about global warming is a negative for the United States. And look at what happened with the Kyoto Protocol. I think it was 1996, and Al Gore went over there, and he was, of course, a silly boy, and he always has been. And he signed off that, and Clinton signed off that, but the Senate wouldn't ratify, never did. And when you look at the numbers from 96 to now, the United States, of all the countries in the world, is the only one that's actually diminished its carbon footprint, which means it's cleaned up the air more than anybody else, and they didn't sign. So now the countries who did sign, and I believe... Australia's one, Canada's one, it might be Germany. But now, the last time they had that reunion, last year I think it was, to re-sign and, say global warming forever.
In Rio.
They reneged and took their names off the damn list. That's got to tell somebody something, but Obama doesn't listen. No, sir.
Well,
it doesn't happen.
You can't control people without a crisis. We better take a really quick break here. We're going to come back with C.J. Hadley, the editor of Range Magazine. And if you don't get Range Magazine, go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us. You have all sorts of great information on how to get a deal on Range Magazine, actually. You've got the links and everything else on there, and well worth the read. Comes out just a few times a year, so you're not going to get buried in them like you do so many of these other things, and every article's good. We will be right back. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of, they changed it, Free Fire Media, Community Radio for the North State. Pick one, whatever you like.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Your body, then they go. What shall we do about them?
I can go when no one else can go. I know when no one else knows. Here I am, just a drowning rain, with a ticket for the runaway train, and everything seems cut and dry.
Now we're back. There we go.
You were half back.
That was a half back. I was sitting here talking to myself.
Oh my gosh. All right. You've rejoined us. CJ, are you still in there?
CJ.
We're having technology problems this morning.
It's pretty hard to hear you, actually.
I'll have to...
We can boost up the power a little bit here. We're having some issues, but we have CJ from Range Magazine, the editor of Range Magazine. We're talking about all kinds of things that we talk about in Range Magazine.
Yeah, everything that we... Actually, all the programs that we do, except for the VA. You haven't hit the VA, but that sort of... We color outside the... outside the land use lines on that one, but everything else you cover it. And you know, can you tell people about the horse thing? Can you talk to people about what you've learned about that? Because that is becoming such a huge, huge problem.
Are you sure you want to stop Mustang? Are you ready to stop Mustang?
Well, you know, the thing that's interesting is I don't actually know a lot about it. But I know that it's destroying some of the counties to the east of us. So I know it's out of control and bad, and a lot of it is because, you know, everybody thinks, oh, horses, they're so great, you know, and they have this weird love affair, not looking at the damage, not looking at what it's costing. And so anyway.
This whole thing is global warming with an equine. And we've got a story in the current issue, which came out last week. It's called Summer 2014. And there's a story called 40 Years of Hell. And it's written by an old rancher. He's probably 80-something. His name's George Palmer. He lives in Eureka, Nevada. And he used to be a Mustanger in the 30s, in the 40s and 50s. And what happened with these horses is the ranchers had horses. They had permits for horses. They had permits for cattle. They had permits for sheep. They had permits for goats. And they used to run their horses out on the winter ranges, just let them loose. And every once in a while, they'd put a good stud in there, and they would gather them, and they would use them for haying, you know, a long time ago, use them for haying. In the turn of the century, this was before George was actually born. And it would be good. But when automation came in, and they got tractors, they got John Deere's, they got whatever else, the horses were less important. The cowboys still used them to gather cattle, work cattle, doctor cattle, check water. And the federal lands, California in the northeast corner is exactly the same as Nevada. It should belong to us. Modoc and County should be ours, I believe. But anyway, there was a lot of horses. And Mustangers, cowboys used to gather them and sell them for dog food or whatever, train them, sell them for, it was additional income for the ranch. And then when they got to be a Wild Horse Annie, Velma Johnson actually went to George Palmer's ranch when he was working for his father on a ranch in the central Nevada, and she wanted to use their stud to breed one of their mares or something like that. And they didn't think much about it. But within 10 years or so, Velma Johnson became Wild Horse Annie, and I met her in 1972 in Reno when I was running a magazine called Auto Week. Anyway, Velma Johnson saw some abject cruelty to Mustangs, you know, really bad. Mustangers putting them in trucks, too many, broken legs, whatever. And she made it her mission, and it was a pretty good mission to stop cruelty to animals. And she got a letter-writing campaign from almost every child in America, it seemed like, and Congress was inundated with tens, hundreds of thousands of letters saying, save these poor horses. Then, of course, Clark Gable, Marilyn Monroe came out with the Misfits movie in the 60s, which showed that Mustangers were dreadful and putting tires, you know, lasso in the horses and putting a lot of tires on them and wearing them out so they could catch them. And it got to be pretty weird. Anyway, Wild Horse and Burros Act was passed in 1971, and it was to protect the Mustang. But what it was supposed to do is to keep the Mustang, the feral horses, in the same numbers and in the same areas that they were when the law was passed. Now, that was about 7,000 or 8,000 horses in Nevada where most of the horses were. And it was also in, you know, certain little pockets of the state. Now, the counties were all given the option in Nevada, do you want Mustangs on your range or not? Now, Elko said no, and a few counties said no. Nye County said yes because they liked the horses. They worked with horses. Part of their business was horses. And so they got it all wrong. The ranchers had made a really bad mistake. So what happened shortly after the law was passed, they found, you know, that a lot of, they were starting to gather the horses because the herd doubles every 4 years. So if you had 7,000 in 71, you had 14,000 in 75.
Wow.
And then you had 28,000. So we're soon at 250,000 horses, okay? Now this is absolutely ridiculous. Now, I don't know whether you know much about the private property rights on federal land, but there are many, many different rights. One is mineral rights, which is maybe private companies. A lot of Canadian companies are mining on federal lands in Nevada. There are water rights, which are usually belong to the ranchers, which the ranchers have had, you know, they're called vested water rights because they got them in the 1800s, way before Forest Service started, and at least 100 years before BLM started. So they have these vested water rights, and if they put it to beneficial use, I can only really speak for Nevada right now, but the water rights in Nevada is use it or lose it. So if you put water to beneficial use, you can keep it. It's your water right. Now, that does not belong to the feds. It does not belong to environmentalists. It does not belong to backpackers, and it does not belong to the miners. So it belongs to the ranchers, mostly. And so what happens is they've got their cow-calf or their sheep and lambs out there, and they're putting the water to beneficial use. They've done a lot of improvements. They've dug wells. They've dug pits so that they can, you know, water catchments, you know, which will water livestock on the range in certain seasons of the year, like after the snow melt and stuff like that. And they also have ditch rights, which means they keep the water flowing. So that's also a private right on federal land. And the other thing they have is forage rights. They have the right to the graze. So their livestock is allowed to eat the plants because it's their plants. Now, what they did in the 1940s, they got 1930s, there was a lot of problem with wandering sheep bands, like 250,000 sheep coming in from Idaho.
Wow.
And grazing on the land that the cattlemen had settled in Nevada. And they just go through with a couple of thousand or 8,000 or 10,000 sheep at a time, and there's not a blade of grass left. So what are they going to do? So there was a lot of real altercations going on, cows and sheep and wandering bands and people who actually had deeded property, which is often a homestead. And some of those homesteads might only be 100 and, you know, like a section, like 640 acres. And then they grew and grew and grew the deeded lands on these ranches. So some of them have got, you know, 10,000, 20,000 acres of deeded. But they also run on, I'll give you one example, was the Hage Ranch. They've had deeded water rights since the middle of the 1800s. And Wayne Hage bought the ranch in 1978. It had a huge amount of water right, and it also had grazing rights, not privileges. It's a total different thing. It's grazing rights on the country, two mountain ranges and a valley, summer and winter range in different parts of the ranch. That was the size of Rhode Island. We're talking 750,000 acres. So he owned, you know, I don't know how many acres, 7,000 acres, and ran on 700,000. Now, what happened out there, I've got off the horse point, I'm sorry. I've got to come back to Hage in a minute. But anyway, all these ranches are out there. And the BLM said, okay, you can collect your horses, but you got to keep them off there unless you got a permit, like a branded horse. Now, what they did with the ranches when they started to get such big herds in the 70s, they said, you go and collect them. But the BLM charged such a fee for having those horses, which were ranch horses, out there, that the ranchers could not afford to buy their own horses back. So they left them out there.
That's
also a problem. So then it grew and it grew and it grew.
That's how it got so big. Okay.
I don't know whether you know that BLM has already adopted out about 250,000 horses from mostly Nevada and Wyoming ranges, and they've got Mustangs in holding facilities like Palomino Valley. Nevada's got hundreds and hundreds of horses.
And Mustangs,
just north of Susanville, that's another huge amount of horses just sitting there. There are ranches that are now being paid to feed horses in the Midwest, Wisconsin, South Dakota, Oklahoma, all kinds. I think there are 50,000 horses, unadoptable, useless horses, being paid for by the taxpayer. And I believe that just for feeding those horses in alleged sanctuaries costs taxpayers $80 million a year.
CJ,
also in the Wild Horse and Burros Act, there's a section that said if these horses should be slaughtered, you know, if there are too many of them, it's right there in the law. But now Congress and some of those awful congressmen like Moran from Virginia refuses to let any horse get killed, even if it's got a broken leg, snake bite, you know, been absolutely destroyed by another stud, you know, it can't be used. And all the slaughterhouses were closed for horses in 2006, thanks to Madeline Pickens, T. Boone Pickens, the Humane Society of the United States, Congressman Moran, and a lot of other twits like Ed Harris, the actor, Lily Tomlin, Sheryl Crow, who is the worst one of all, and Willie Nelson, and they all think their little hearts are going pit-a-pat, and all of there's going to be no horses left. Are they kidding? They ought to come to Spring Valley, Nevada. One valley, 20,000 horses have been taken off there in 20 years.
And
there are still so many Mustang bands from the top of one of those mountains. I went out there with a sheep man, and he pointed them out. Little bunches, 10, 15, 5, you know, young studs, you know, together, because the old stud won't let them near their harem. And it's just ugly out there. There's no land. And when the helicopters come now, all those Mustangs know to go into the pinyon juniper. You can't catch them. It is so bad. And there are, like I say, there's probably... There are twice as many horses in Nevada now than can be fed. And the do-gooders still put a lawsuit on every single gather the BM tries to make by saying, oh, no, they have a right to be there. The cattle and sheep should move. But they ignore the fact that the cattle and sheep have rights. They pay taxes on their permit. They pay taxes on it for almost 100 years. And so do they think that all those rural communities and all those people who are growing really good beef and really good lamb and really good wool for the nation should be destroyed because they like horses? It's insanity.
They're like rats.
And CJ, just so people understand, Mustangs are not really great riding horses, are they?
Some of them have got great stamina and they can be used.
But they're a small horse.
Some of them are so inbred, they got big heads and short legs, and they're just absolutely dreadful.
Yeah.
The studs are breeding their mothers and their daughters.
Yeah,
it is not a pretty sight.
No, and those horses, I mean, when people, they're really not good for much. I mean, and people aren't going to adopt a horse just to feed it. I think that's the problem.
I think China and Belgium and France, they import millions of tons of horse meat. I was in Argentina. I went to horse ranches. They never ride the horses. They're the most gorgeous colored things you ever saw, the prettiest things. These Mustang lovers should go to Argentina because they're grown for meat for Europe. We could make a huge amount of money for the Treasury. We could diminish the tax pressures on all of us. It is a product which could be sold just like, you know, deer meat for the hunters. It helps pay for protection of the mule deer. The horses are of great value. They are the most beautiful creature in the world, except, of course, for Great Danes. And, you know, it is a benefit to everyone if they cull herd. And even if they let Mustangers go out there, with the appropriate rules, do not hurt them. Do not, you know, be cruel unnecessarily. But if you've ever seen a horse slaughtered in Mexico, your stomach would turn over and you would never want to, you would want to kill people all around you. It is the most horrible sight. But humane slaughter facilities used to be in the United States. They almost opened some in New Mexico, and there's one other state right now. The slaughter facilities for our horses are ready to go. And every time some do-gooders get to Congress and take the thing out of the omnibus bill, you know, that said, yeah, the meat inspectors can inspect the horse plants as well, you know. And we're just destroying ourselves, and we're just losing so much money. There would be millions of tons of meat. And who has a right to tell somebody you can't eat horse meat?
Well,
that is really unadulterated BS.
Well, there's no difference between slaughtering a cow or a pig or a sheep.
Well, if the Humane Society had their way, we wouldn't slaughter anything, of course, except people. We'd just let them starve to death. We need to take one more quick break, or we'll be at the top of the hour. We're coming back with C.J. Hadley from Range Magazine. And, you know, this topic doesn't get enough coverage. I'm so glad you're on with us this morning, C.J. You're listening to We the People Radio. Please use the second chat link if you go start in troubles here. Oh, good song.
Guess you better slow your Mustang down. Singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
about some barbecue sauce for my horses?
I love that.
Beer and barbecue sauce. What the heck? You can't go wrong there. So CJ, what the heck? I mean, how do we ever get the word out to people? Oh, I just forgot something. Charles is on hold. Is he on hold? We have somebody who called in. That's why nobody calls us. We forget about him. We leave him on hold.
Charles.
We're fired.
One moment, please. Okay, now he's here.
All right. Fire away, Charles.
I want to know what the guest thinks of this new regulation that the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers are proposing called the Waters of the U.S.
Oh, yes.
And they want to, this thing is a power grab. I mean, the Colorado Farm Bureau is already up in arms about it. They're trying to get as many people as they can to lodge their protest.
All right, well, let's let her answer.
Even the local Board of Supervisors has a comment letter on their agenda, which is how I came to find out about this.
We have a cover story in the Summer Issue Range. It's called The United EPA of America. It's by Dr. Kaufman. It is on my website at rangemagazine.com. I highly recommend you read it. It talks about that, navigable waters, how insane this is, what an absolute taking it would be. Every agency in the federal government is getting bigger and bigger and more ominous and more dangerous, and we have to stop it. Please read the United EPA of America in the current issue. It is free online, or you can call 1-800-RANGE-FOR-YOU, and you can get a copy of the magazine, which also includes, we're talking about the Mustang issue and Humane Society of the United States. We have a story in the same issue called Call in the Maggots, and it's about Humane Society of the United States. And we've also got the story about the Mustangs, 40 Years of Hell, and many, many other things. The issue is quite extraordinary, the people that I've gathered together for it. Now, a lot of the major stories in that issue will be online in about a week and a half, but the real issue has so much more than what I offer online because I can't support myself unless I get my subscription. So I hope somebody out there will consider actually buying a cheap subscription.
Yeah, because it is cheap. I mean,
it's well worth the money. I mean, it's just
$15 for 5 issues.
It cost me more than that to deliver it.
I bet.
I'm thinking that somebody gets a subscription, hopefully they'll buy a gift to mummy, or perhaps a, you know, environmentalist vegan son, you know, and enlighten somebody in the family. It could work, you know, it could be really good.
Or you could buy a gift for your favorite city council person.
There you go, Charles.
By the way, the comment deadline is July 21st.
July?
Yeah, use a lot of that information from Mike Hoffman. You can use it for that comment. It will help you.
Thank you.
Charles, July 21st for the City Council or the Board of Supes?
No, for the Waters of the U.S.
For the EPA one. Okay, all right.
Right.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Charles.
Everybody should complain about that and stop them. I don't know how, but I just hope we can.
Yeah, because they're evil and bad.
We may or may not be able to stop it, but we won't be able to stop it if we don't wake up and speak up. If we do nothing,
we have to make valiant attempts over and over and over again.
Yeah, I think you guys are both right. And it's about getting the information out there. Great way to wrap up our first hour. We're coming back with CJ. We're going to cause her to be our hostage in the second hour because I know there's more stuff we need to learn. Charles, thanks for your call. Everybody else, head for the chat room, wethepeopleradio.us. Hit the second link. There are 3 possibilities. The second one seems to be where people have congregated.
Yeah, this hour flew by. We're going to have another hour coming up.
We'll be right back with you. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding. You are rejoining We the People Radio.
I'm Bill. Hi, Aaron.
I apparently don't do it. When I send out requests for interviews and stuff, I send it from my own email. Just Bill's just along for the ride.
Yeah.
So we have Bob the engineer. We have Bill who's along for the ride.
And sidekick.
Yeah.
Foil.
And
hi, I'm Bob the Engineer.
It's like a children's movie.
This is our guest, C.J. Hadley.
And she's the editor of Range Magazine. And if you don't get Range Magazine, you're missing the boat. We're making a list. Bill had a great idea. He said we should make a list of people and just start subscribing for them. It's $15 for 5 issues. I mean, what the heck?
You spend more than coffee.
The regular rate, by the way, is $19.95 for 4. That covers my cost, $19, and it's a quarterly magazine. But for new subscribers, I want them to get on board. I want them to see them. I don't want to renew them too early. That's why I'm giving 15 for 5, just so that they can see if they like it enough in a year.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's
that's
only
a year and a quarter.
Besides NRA, this is the only magazine we subscribe to. Because, you know, 9 times out of 10, you get magazines, and it's like, there's a magazine that goes in a pile, you know. But this is one that always gets read, and the topics are extraordinarily timely. On the break, we were saying, CJ and I were chatting, and she said, we've got to hit BLM and basically the government land grab, overreach, whatever you want to call it, the heavy hand of government, the Clive and Bundy issue, and then good news.
Oh, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
So that's our target. We'll just tell people that's our target, and then when we don't make it, they'll know we had good intentions.
Yeah, that's good.
So who do you want to start with, BLM and Bundy?
Well, federal government.
All right.
I had no idea how the federal government has been changing over the last 10, 20, 30 years. The worst part was when range reform came in under Clinton with Bruce Babbitt as Secretary of Interior. But the fact is, the federal government is the country's largest and least competent land manager of all. Many people in the land management agencies, and I'm including Forest Service, BLM, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which, of course, is over the Endangered Species Act, which is very frightening, National Park Service, and the Environmental Protection Agency, at the very least, they're guilty of conspiracy to take private property. They're guilty of intimidation. They ignore state laws. They want water. They want energy. They do the bidding of rabid environmental activists using the Endangered Species Act to help destroy America's real producers, our farmers and ranchers. And the rights of public lands ranchers are standing in the way. In Nevada, I can use Nevada because I've been living here since the early 70s, and I just love this place. But the best example of abuse, conspiracy, racketeering is the Hage case. Wayne Hage used to write for me when I ran Nevada Magazine. I did not know he was a rancher. He was a California guy, and he bought a ranch in Nevada, which I mentioned earlier, in 1978. It's called Pine Creek Ranch. It is a gorgeous place. The National Park Service wanted it for a park, so they started harassing Wayne Hage just about the minute he arrived. I went up on Table Mountain to gather cattle with him in 1979 and again in 1980. And it was 11,000 foot mountain at Table Mountain. And on the other side of the valley is Mount Jefferson, which is 13,000 feet, which is a pretty big mountain. There are 3 peaks in Nevada over 13,000 feet. It has got all kinds of different, it's got desert country, it's got alpine country. It is exquisite. It really is. What happened is the Forest Service, which had the permits on those high mountains, they started harassing Wayne Hage, and just really bad. And one example is in one season of grazing, I think it was a 106-day grazing season, which is like 3.5 months in the high country or whatever, the Forest Service visited the ranch 70 times, and sent 40 certified letters complaining about the way they were grazing their cattle. They said that they would put a 5-year, they would not let them graze for 5 years because they went up and took photographs in November in that high country. After it had been grazed all summer and fall, they brought them off in October 31. It's usually snowing when they're bringing them off. But they took pictures in middle of November, which is after the season, when it had frozen about 5-6 times. It was just looked awful. And they said they couldn't get back on that mountain for 5 years because of the destruction by cattle. Well, the ranchers went up on the top of Table Mountain with the Forest Service the following spring, and it was knee-deep in grass. There was no bare ground. There was nothing wrong with it. The fact that those cows had used it and defecated and urinated on it and chomped it and eaten all that grass, they kept it healthy. It's regenerated. It was beautiful. And they said, well, no, it's the wrong kind of grass. So they still wanted them on a 5-year suspension. It is outrageous. I went on to a trip with the Forest Service, and I was, I think I was with Nevada Magazine at the time, so they invited a few journalists from Nevada and a lot of do-gooders from Vegas. Sierra Club was there, Nature Conservancy, Audubon, Wilderness Society, National Wildlife Federation, all these people were on this pack trip. And they packed us up to Mount Jefferson, and they had a barbecue. And the RO Ranch, which was 3-million-acre ranch, they supplied free steaks for all these people to go and play in the wilderness. Obviously, we were packed in by horses because it was wilderness. But I was so depressed by that party. I was in my little tent, and I heard the forest rangers say that we're going to get Wayne Hage off this permit, off this mountain, because we have more money and more lawyers. And he was talking about the government has more money and more lawyers. Now, there's been a lawsuit against the Forest Service by the Hage family since 1991. It's 28 years old. They've won every major round in court. They took the case to the U.S. Court of Federal Claims in Washington, D.C., and they beat them at every turn. And every time they're awarded, they win, the Forest Service and the BLM then sue them for something else. The last thing was for trespass. They accused young Wayne Hage of trespass. Because what happened is they wouldn't give him a permit. He couldn't keep his water right unless he had cattle out there. The state can take the water right that is owned by Hage, which is worth millions of dollars probably right now. So he put cattle out there on his own creeks, on his own graze, which he owns. And so they sued him. And the court in Reno, Judge Jones, said that the federal government, the Forest Service, and the BLM is guilty of conspiracy to take private property and threw that out of court. Now they're suing him again. Now they're appealing again. What they're doing is they're just killing the family, killing a lot of families in the same way, by just destroying everything that they need to function. They need water. They need cattle on the land, obviously. These federal lands ranches with their rights are being destroyed one at a time, and they're not standing together because they think if they lay low, get their neighbor, and it's just awful.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely awful. And by the way, Jean Hage, Wayne Hage's wife, died in 1996, 5 years after the lawsuit started, of a heart failure. They said it was due to the pressure of the case, and nobody could ever prove that. Wayne Hage died of cancer, I believe, in 2005 or 6. Wayne Hage had married Helen Chenoweth Hage, who used to be a congresswoman from Idaho. She was the head of the Resource Committee in Congress, a brilliant woman. And she died in a car wreck 6 months after her husband died. So now the children are still fighting the same lawsuit. Now the judge in Washington, the U.S. Court of Federal Claims, said that the federal government owes Wayne Hage family $4 million plus interest for 28 years. So they owe the Hage family $14 million. If they ever see that, it would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
But it's one at a time, one rancher at a time. And Wayne Hage was so much smarter than the Forest Service. He was an intellectual. He was brilliant. Ramona Hage, his eldest daughter, worked for a congressman in D.C. in the early 90s when this court stated. And she did all kinds of research in, you know, all of the federal government agencies there. And they know far more than any Forest Service or BLM guy ever will. But now the family is pretty much dead, 3 people dead already on this one case, and they're still harassing them mercilessly.
That is really criminal.
It should be a crime. They should be in prison.
They should be. And, you know, you were saying that they want this property to build a park. Well, it seems like lately all BLM wants to do on the land they already have is to keep people off. So why would they believe anybody would give them anything to build a park just so they could keep us off? It's just insanity.
Oh, it changed from being wanting it for a national park in the 70s and early 80s to Then they started the MX missile, which was, you know, nuclear bombs going around Nevada on train tracks. Did you remember that? That was going to go right through Pine Creek Ranch as well. So they fought that, and we got rid of the MX missile. And then the next thing is they want water for Vegas. And there's the Southern Nevada Water Authority that is now trying to, you know, water everybody's lawn and got fountains everywhere in Vegas. And they don't think they're living in the desert. They think they're, you know, in Hawaii with the water that they consume. And now they've been buying up ranches for the last 10 or 15 years in eastern Nevada and just buying their water right. And they're paying way too much for the ranches, so it's out of production. The counties are going down. The little towns are going down. There's no tax. There's nothing. And they still want water rights from ranches like Pine Creek Ranch. But, you know, the kids are right now holding firm, and I have no idea how they've been so strong for so long, and I just love them. There's a really good story in Range. It's on the website. Oh, my goodness, I've forgotten the name. But at the bottom of our website, it'll say update on the Hage case, so I hope people will take a chance at looking at that. But the other thing is if they don't use destructive tactics like, oh, I know, when they harass the Hages for so many letters, so many visits, it turned out that they complained about the fences up on Table Mountain on that permit.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And it turned out that they sent a cowboy up there, which takes all day to ride up there and ride back. I know that because I've done it myself, and it was a very difficult ride. And he found one staple missing on several miles of fence.
Jeez.
One staple, and this is what they did. And the Judge Jones in Reno, by the way, it was August of 2012, he told that the BLM and the Forest Service Rangers, the two guys in charge, one from the Austin District, one from Tonopah District, that they better bring their own lawyers and their own pocketbook because they were in contempt, and they would have to hear the court from the way they abused, and it would not be tax dollars paying their lawyers' fees. He was so angry. He was so angry with the Department of Justice lawyers. Of course, there's a great, huge bunch of lawyers from Justice, and they're there for weeks on this case. And they got so out of order, he says, I will not let any lawyers from Department of Justice in my court if you're going to act like this.
Well, so
he reprimanded, you know, Eric Holder's little minions. It was a beautiful thing to watch. I was in court that day. I loved it.
Well, you know, I really believe that's what it's going to take is these people in these heads of these bureaucracies, they're going to have to go after them personally for abuse of power, you know, criminal charges against some of these people to stop them from you're right, you know, sending their minions out to just basically harass the people on land that, you know, they were put in charge to basically care for, and they're treating it like it's theirs, get out. Leave it alone and keep out. You know, it's they need to go after him criminally.
You know, the other thing is about the Hages, young Wayne, because they didn't have any money. I mean, how can they function when they can't function on their own ranch, which they paid a huge amount of money for him, which should be, you know, taking care of several generations of his family. But young Wayne Hage, he took cattle from other ranches and ran them on his own ranch, you know, the federal land that he was used to be permitted for, but the Forest Service wouldn't and BLM wouldn't give him a permit. So he ran these other cattlemen's cattle out there, and the Forest Service from Austin took a guy with a gun threatening one of the ranchers who had put his lease cattle with Wayne Hage and extorted money from them. You know, tens of thousands of dollars were extorted from these ranchers who were actually subcontracted to Wayne Hage. It wasn't their responsibility. It was young Wayne's responsibility. And the judge in Reno in August 2012 said the Department of Interior extorted those people with guns, which is pretty much like Mud Bundy case. They shouldn't even be armed, BLM guys who are supposed to be land managers.
Well, that's what cracks me up.
He said they have to give the money back, and I have no idea if any of those ranchers got that money back.
Well, why in the world would an agency like BLM need a SWAT team? I mean, this is
well,
where it's gone.
Actually,
it's just insanity.
And actually what I heard was that it wasn't, a lot of that wasn't BLM's SWAT team. That was hired out. That was a like a Blackwater type of deal. They went
Homeland Security, I heard.
Yep, they hired out
Homeland Security is buying billions of rounds of ammunition, so all people who believe in the Second Amendment and enjoy their guns and hunting and target shooting or whatever, and is a right under the Constitution, we can't even get any ammo, so that's the way they're taking our guns.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so, and the other thing is the police powers of the BLM, they've been pulling guns on people in Nevada for the last 20 years.
We just, the rest of us finally heard about it. We need to take a really quick break, otherwise we'll have them all in secession, which would be bad. We're coming right back with CJ Hadley. She's the editor of Range Magazine, and if you don't get Range Magazine, you're blowing it. It's a 5-issue deal she has on the website. Go on there, wethepeopleradio.us. If you want to join the chat room, click the second link. Playing Wild Horse music just to make CJ mad.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the California Chrome. California Chrome won the race yesterday.
Oh, my God, that guy works in Gardnerville, which is a town I use in Nevada.
Hey, we know Gardnerville.
The guy who owns California Chrome, and he's got a little company down there, and what a beautiful sight that was. I wept all the way through the Kentucky Derby.
The Belmont Stakes.
I wept all the way through the Preakness as well.
Yeah, the Belmont Stakes. You think people are going to be watching that race? That's going to be an exciting race.
I think they're going to get me away from a television set.
Oh.
Even though it's NBC, I'm going to watch the bugger.
Now, I heard that California Chrome was not a Mustang. I don't know for sure, but
this is one beautiful critter, and that boy in Gardnerville, Steve, I've forgotten his last name, but he said he dreamed he was going to be a Triple Crown winner, and my God, he's got two of them right so far, and it's just an $8,000 hole.
Exactly. $10,000 total,
I think, including the stud fee.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
It's just a beautiful sight.
Yeah, and that horse, not a lot of money behind it, and it's really got kind of people on their ear. Like, how does something like this happen with just a commoner?
I know, and that horse, he's so calm, is he not?
Oh, yeah, and we were just...
got sweat and froth, and California Chrome is just, he just enjoys the day.
We were talking about it, and I mean, he was starting to pull away at the end of that race, so, you know, the last one's a little longer, so this might be, this last race might be his race. It's going to be exciting.
Did you hear the interview with the jockey Victor Espinosa yesterday, who said he didn't really want to take Chrome out front that early because there was still a long way to go, but he was being pressured by the horse, and he had to do it, and Chrome had it in him, so there's a lot of people going to be pressuring that horse in the Belmont Stakes, and a lot of the horses that raced against him in Kentucky Derby, you know, they're resting. They didn't go to the Preakness because they couldn't get a Triple Crown anyway because they were beaten, but they're going to be ready to try and bite that horse's butt in Belmont.
Yeah, there's not going to be a lot of recoup time, but regardless of that, it's going to be an exciting race.
It's a thriller, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Well, when you see Steve, tell him we're watching. And we're proud of him.
Have you heard
cool.
the story behind the name of their partnership that's making the rounds? Steve Coburn and Perry Martin. The two men formed the partnership DAP, which stands for Dumbass Partners.
Well, that's because they had a group of people who, you know, they raced the mare, I guess, and she didn't do very well, and they all gave up. And so Steve and Terry, they said, oh, no, we'll take it. And they said, you're just dumbasses. And they said, okay, we're the dumbass partners. And I tell you what, they're pretty much the most brilliant dumbass partners I ever saw at the Kentucky Derby.
The story goes that a groom walked by and said, anyone who decides to buy that horse is a dumbass.
Yeah, okay, that's it. It's perfect.
It's always good when you just don't, you know, when you just don't follow the mold.
Yeah, everybody loves the underdog.
That's it.
You totally do. Well, okay, so I guess that's a pretty decent segue into the Bundy thing.
Oh, yeah, that would be good. I don't know whether you know, we've got a major story coming out in the fall issue, which is the one I'm working on now, and it's about Clive and Bundy is the key to it. There used to be more than 50 ranches running cattle in Clark County, Nevada, which is, of course, the county in Vegas in the southern tip of the state. This was more than 25 years ago, and as I mentioned before, Nature Conservancy, other environmental groups started a campaign to save the desert tortoise. And they said cattle were stepping on the tortoise, killing them, and cattle should be removed from the range. They said cattle were taking the grass that the tortoise needed. Well, at the time, as I said, I was with Nevada Magazine, and a BLM biologist called me from Vegas, and he says, CJ, cattle are not the problem. Predators like ravens, coyotes, and raptors are the problem. They eat the eggs. Cattle actually help tortoise because the high-protein fecal matter and the ranch water improvements on open range actually help the tortoise survive. And the facts are that where there are more cattle, there are more tortoise. Now, the BLM, they started harassing all those ranchers down there and making it and eliminating and diminishing their permits so that they couldn't make a living. So instead of being 500 cattle run out there, they can only do 250. Well, they can't break even with 250 cattle. So they became what the federal government loves to call willing sellers. And they're not willing, but they don't have a choice, so they actually sold out. Now, most of those ranchers, I heard, and I don't know whether this is the right number, got $395,000 for their permits, to give up the permits. And what they were doing is they were using that cattle range as mitigation for desert tortoise. Because Harry Reid, our great, most beautiful, most awful Senate majority leader in Washington, D.C., Nevada senior senator, needed more land for Vegas. So they did a land swap with the BLM, took more land close to Vegas, and they mitigated the desert tortoise habitat with all of these ranches that they really forced out of business, but they would call them willing sellers. Now, the last one standing was Clive and Bundy, and he refused to go. And what the BLM did to Clive and Bundy in the early 90s is they wanted to cut his permit by 67%. Now, he's running, I don't know how many cattle, 500-600, I think it was, and you need 500 acres per cow down there at least to survive, but it's desert country. The Virgin River goes through there. Clive and Bundy has water improvements and all that kind of stuff. And so what happened is he said he cannot function with a 67% cut, but worse than that, the BLM told him that he could have his 33% cattle out there, but he couldn't run them in the spring, for 3 months in the spring. Now, the cattle in Clark County, which is probably averages 4 inches of rain, if they're lucky, they can't function unless they go out there in spring when the grasses are nice and green and they kind of put a nice body in and they can feed their calves and they're kind of healthy. He couldn't function. So he wouldn't sign the permit because it meant suicide, absolute total devastation, no question about it. If he'd have lasted a year, it would have been amazing. So the pressure on Bundy was huge. He said, no, I'm not going to sign. Now, the BLM cannot charge for a permit unless it's signed. So there was no signed permit, so there was nowhere to send any money. So Clive and Bundy said he'd pay the state because it was state's rights anyway, and he gets kind of, you know, a big, heavy constitutionalist state's rights and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, this has been going on for, obviously, 20 years. Every other rancher is gone. All of that mitigated area, which is desert tortoise area, BLM decided to put a sanctuary together for desert tortoise, and they encouraged little people who were rock hounds and photographers shooting pictures of those beautiful spring fires in Vegas that they should bring the tortoise in, you know, if they're close to the concrete, and they would protect them. Now they can't afford to run the sanctuary, the desert tortoise sanctuary in Vegas, and they're euthanizing the tortoises.
Yeah, isn't that
now,
isn't that
what
great?
I would say is if you don't have enough money to keep the tortoise sanctuary in Vegas, why don't they get rid of the horse sanctuaries that cost $80 million a year just to feed? And then maybe they could pay for desert tortoise. But it's just a ruse. It's ridiculous. It's not true. And now what's happening is Harry Reid is making deals with the Chinese for solar plants in Clark County, which will probably hire 17 people. And they've got to mitigate again for this huge solar plant, which takes entire valleys, which kill birds, as Aaron said, you know. It's horrible. And it destroys all the habitat for every other critter out there, whether it be an insect or a lizard or you know, a deer or rabbits or whatever. You can't live under those solar panels. and they got him in it again. So now they need Cliven Bundy's range, which is a big range, to mitigate for the solar panels, which is also going to destroy habitat. Now, when you add all this up, it's destruction of private property. It's destruction of a natural resource. It is hurting the taxpayer. It is getting, it's lessening food production. Nothing makes any sense. So Bundy keeps fighting. And he's not accused of a crime. And the thing about this is, with states' rights, the federal government has no right to come in any state without permission of the state. And if they're going to come in armed, they're not allowed to be armed. Now, the Sheriff Gillespie in Vegas, he took a neutral stance to start with, which is wrong. He was supposed to protect the citizens of his county, which means he should not have allowed the BLM to come in, especially not with 150 people with semi-automatic and automatak weapons, with flak jackets and tasers and dogs. I mean, this was ridiculous. And I know you probably heard about the First Amendment zone. I've got a photograph that I'm trying to use in the next issue. It is orange plastic tape around about an acre, and all of these people who wanted to complain about the heavy hand of the government were supposed to stand inside this little plastic thing. Now, luckily, Governor Sandoval of Nevada said, America is a First Amendment zone, so they made him put it down, but not until they'd embarrassed themselves all to hell. And everything they did was wrong. The story in the next issue is fascinating, and it's very, very complicated. It's not just about one crazy rancher in Las Vegas.
I'm glad you picked that up, CJ, because it is a travesty what they're doing, and the sheriff down there, to his peril, didn't stand up when he should have, and now he's on board. But I think it's a little late, but at least now he is standing up and saying no.
Bill, Sheriff Gillespie is guilty of malfeasance of office and should be stripped of his job immediately.
Should
he should not have. He went out to Cliven Bundy and he wanted to talk to him privately. And what he was going to be is the intermediary between the BLM and the Bundy supporters. And the Bundy supporters were families from St. George, Utah. There were some, you know, militia types, which was, you know, it was kind of a plus and a minus, you know. But what it did is it showed that the people of America are going to stand up for their private property rights, for their First Amendment rights, for their Second Amendment rights. And it was a beautiful showing of support for one old Mormon rancher in southern Nevada who was way out of his depth but knew he had the right to stand.
Yeah,
and he keeps standing, and I admire that. I don't admire some of the things he says because they're taken out of context and they're just awful, but we cover that in range as well. But he is a good-hearted man who cares for his cattle, cares for his family, which is very large. And he's never had any problem down there. They're trying to destroy him, and he said, I will not be destroyed, and this is what it's come to. The other thing is Neil Cornsey, who is now the head of the BLM, worked for Harry Reid in his office in Washington, D.C., in the Senate for years. Now he's in his 30s. He's too young to run the BLM, my opinion. Anyway, he is now running the BLM, and Harry Reid was on TV after the BLM stood down, and they kind of disappeared. They're not gone by any means. It's going to get worse. But Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, on television in Vegas a few days later, said, this is not over. And he accused all of the Bundy followers of being domestic terrorists, and he said that they will be dealt with shortly. Well, what's happening shortly is dozens of Nevada ranchers, within days of that, their permits started to be cut all over Nevada.
Mm.
Now, just in one valley, one county in Nevada, Lander County, BLM range conservationists who made a deal with the ranchers. There was drought for the last 2 years, but they had a really good spring rain a few weeks ago, and the grass is really growing really well. They had 4 inches of rain or something, which is a lot. And he says, okay, you can go with minor cuts to the permits, and they all agreed to the minor cuts so they could still, you know, break even or whatever. And the head of the BLM in Battle Mountain District came in and said the range con has no right to say whether that land is good enough for those cattle. And he cut 11,000 AUMs with 2 weeks before they were supposed to turn out in spring.
Yeah, he needs to
You know how devastating that is? That is so awful. That is so. There's going to be a sidebar on this to the Bundy piece in the next issue because this hasn't quite unfolded yet. But it's absolutely outrageous. And doesn't it seem to you, and I may be a conspiracy theorist, Harry Reid says it's not finished yet. His personally picked boy is now ahead of the BLM, and his BLM guys are now destroying him one at a time.
There's no doubt what happened.
It's a big fix to get him off the federal
land. Absolutely it is. Now, is there anything that the sheriff can do?
Okay,
I mean, if they just wanted to go there anyway?
Hold that thought. We have to fit in two breaks by the top of the hour. We've got to squeeze in at least. I know Bill's on a roll now. CJ, we pulled the rope.
I need my blood pressure medication again.
He's like a human lawnmower. He's ready to go. All right, Bob, play us a fun song. Take Bill's blood pressure down. Oh, we love this one. Be right back with CJ Hadley, the editor of Range Magazine.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in just.
I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. Felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name. Cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain.
So for those of you that are wondering why we're playing Horse with No Name, you missed the first hour. You're joining We the People Radio with editor of Range Magazine, CJ Hadley, and we had quite the expose on the horse issue. And, you know, there are a lot of people who really don't understand how out of control that is. So I would encourage you, get on the website and get some information. Read the articles. Send a subscription to your friends and family. She's got an initial deal on here, $15 for 5 issues. You can't beat it. And just the covers alone are worth it. So if all you're into is the pictures, just get it for the pictures.
The other thing I'd like to mention is on that website, it's several years ago, I believe it was the winter issue of 2011, we had a Mustang special report with all kinds of points of view, some BLM, BLM numbers, BLM writing. I think one of the PL ladies wrote it for me. It's really good. And also some of the quotes from the horse advocates, and so you can see their point of view. It's got a Mustang on the cover that I photographed in Susanville, like the pens right north of Susanville, and she's just great. I almost bought that horse. She'd been in holding for 7 years so far. It's hopeless. It doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense, and that's why we're in this mess, because so much of our policy decisions and so much of our thought process are not based on fact. I mean, we started out talking about, you know, briefly, we touched on the global warming scam, and then you move into the federal agencies and the fact that they're all carrying guns. And
well, so many of
their
the articles,
goal is to get us off the land. And
well, I think what I really enjoy about your magazine, CJ, is the articles you put in that magazine are ones that I think a lot of other editors won't touch. They stay away from them, too controversial. You know, they're on the wrong side of the line, and you go at them head on and really give people the facts on it, and I really appreciate that.
There couldn't be anybody more politically incorrect than this Brit.
Oh, I don't know.
When it comes to Western issues, with the magazine, I mean.
Yes, No.
Talk about brutalized. It doesn't matter to me. I think it's got to be said, and the writers I find and the photographers are great, as you said. They're all over the place. They are absolutely great. Most of them are amateurs, the photographers, but, my God, they're in the right place, and they understand, you know, heart and work, and it just shows. The other thing is, though, about Range Magazine, my goodness, there's good news in this son of a gun as well.
Oh, yeah, give us some good news.
Oh, can I do that? Yeah, one of my favorite sections, and I started at the very first issue, and it really bothered my board because I called it Confessions of Red Meat Survivors. And the subtitle of this thing, it says, some of ranching's old-timers admit to ignoring the problems of cholesterol and other unnamed and often unsubstantiated handicaps. They believe that red meat is good, which is proven here simply by age and attitude. And I don't let anybody in here less than 80, and I like the ones that are over 90 and over 100. And my favorite one of the early ones, that my board said, okay, I said, give me some examples of old ranchers who's still chomping meat and they're articulate and having a good time. And they said, you ought to go and talk to Davy Grove in Eagleville, California. And I said, why would I do that? And this old cowboy looks at me and puts his hat back and he says, well, that old boy's still dangerous in town. And I thought, that's intriguing. He was 99 years old. So I go and I called the Davy Grove up. And I said, my name's C.J. Hadley, Ranch Magazine. I'd like to come and talk to you about your ranch. And can I do that? And he says, well, yes, you can. I said, when can you do it? Any time. What day would work? And he says, any day. I said, what time? He says, any time. I said, how about 8 o'clock in the morning? And he says, that'll be fine. Well, I was 5 hours away. So I drive like hell all night, and I get there at 8 o'clock in the morning, and he's burning the weeds of his ditches. He's got a little hose pipe, and he's burning the ditches to keep his ranch looking good. And he says, son, honey, I've got breakfast for you. I got the coffee on. So he fixes me bacon and eggs for breakfast and fresh coffee. And we go around the ranch, and it's been there since the 1800s. And it was just a beautiful place, and he kept it really well, good cattle, everything like it. He's got grandsons working there at the time, but I didn't meet those guys. And we were still talking at lunchtime. He says, honey, can I fix you lunch? I said, that would be real sweet. And so he hopped in the creek and picked me fresh watercress. Now, I'm a hard-ass liberal from New York City, and that was impressive, let me tell you.
Wow.
That has never happened to me before or since. And he says, would you come to my 100th birthday party next, you know? And I said, I would love to, Davey, but he didn't quite make it. Another one we wrote about, she was born in San Francisco. Her name is Clara, and she's the aunt of one of my favorite photographers, Linda DeFarina. And Linda DeFarina and her daughter-in-law, Carolyn, went to interview Clara, and she remembered the San Francisco earthquake. She was a teenager. She went up to, I think it was Bidwell or Loyalton or somewhere, California, and she worked as a bookkeeper. And she was 107 when they interviewed her.
Wow.
And they asked her, she wore a red silk dress and a corsage to celebrate this interview. And she ate ham and eggs for breakfast, and she cut half of the ham off and put it in the napkin and put it in her pocket, which old people will do to save it till later. They don't waste anything. And they asked Clara, what are you doing? She says, oh, I do tax returns for senior citizens.
Oh, my God.
I mean, if you don't absolutely get the warmest feeling like you're looking at California Chrome winning the Derby, but it's much better to meet these old farmers and ranchers who've got an opinion. They understand what they did. They know what hard work is. They've got a work ethic that's extraordinary. They understand the world, nature, the good and the bad and the ugly, and they've experienced a lot of it. So that's one of the sweetest things. We've also got photo things in range called Out on the Range, and we've got a thing called Empty Quarter, which is, you know, a place where there is no trace of man. We have photo essays by some great people. Rob Kendrick works for National Geographic. We've had him a few times. Adam Jael, who used to teach at Brooks Institute of Photography in Los Angeles. He lives in Wyoming. He was in the last issue. Cindy Baldoff from Indiana, who's got a part-time house in Montana. I mean, she's got the funniest photographs. Larry Anger from Jackson, California. He's my webmaster. He's brilliant. He's a great photographer, and we use Larry Anger stuff. Linda DeFarina. It goes on and on how good these people are, and they care about the subject as much as I do, and I think it shows. I can feel it. I hope the readers can feel it like I do.
I'm just looking at the Willow Creek Ranch segment in the back of the...
Oh, that was Adam Jael, yeah.
Spring issue, and it's like just watching Mike Gerkich stretches his legs after long hours in the saddle. The weather's changing, but earlier in the morning, the cowboys were fighting wind and snow in the high country, and he's just walking along with this horse. And, you know, for people who understand the West and understand the American spirit, these pictures are they're kind of like the Norman Rockwell of the West.
Lovely, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's proof positive that what they're doing proves that they are good stewards of the land. They wouldn't be able to be on that land for 100 years if they weren't doing it right and weren't taking care of things, and they certainly don't need, you know, a bureaucracy coming in and showing them how to do it. I mean, they know how to do it. Leave them alone.
They're learning all the time, too. I mean, there's new science that's good that they put to work. Alan Savory, who was, you know, used to hate cattle. He's from born in Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe, and he's running farms, and he hated cows, and he wanted cows off, and he ran a national park in Kenya and removed all the cattle and all the, you know, not the Pimitis, but the wandering, the nomads with their cattle, and he found out he made a terrible mistake, and now he's bringing cattle back all over Africa, many other countries, and they're bringing water back, they're bringing grass back, and he's written for me several times, too, and he's a genius. And he was way 40 years ahead of his time, and he was abused by academia in the United States, and now it's proven that he is right. He is reversing desertification, and he's doing it on a lot of ranches in the United States and all around the world. So, no, they're learning new ways to do it, and it makes no sense if you can't put yourself out of business. If you destroy the land or treat it badly, you're going to be gone.
Well, you had an article, I can't remember which issue it was in, on the Mount St. Helens land up there.
Wasn't that a good one?
Oh, that was a fantastic story. You know, Weyerhaeuser went in, harvested all that timber that was blown down by that volcano, and went right back in and replanted where the government land, they left it alone because nature would take care of it, and it would reseed, and the animals would come back, and blah, blah, blah. It's a mess. And now they're admitting that they did make a huge mistake by not going in, because Weyerhaeuser's back in there. They're harvesting it again. I mean, it's
such a dramatic option, none used by the federal government, and no money, and cost, and beneficial use, and healthy landscapes. Weyerhaeuser, it was written by Jim Peterson of the Evergreen Foundation. I highly recommend you check Evergreen and Jim Peterson's work. It was a great story,
and it fantastic.
Just tells the real tale of federal mismanagement.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, and we can't tell that tale too much because there are still people who don't understand. So it's our job to clue them in. We better take one last quick break before the top of the hour. We will finish off with C.J. Hadley here, the editor of Range Magazine, best magazine ever.
Time is really wasted. Smiling and making. You gotta fight the powers that be. We call it the Cadillac Ranch. They're parking cars in the old beef patch. There's a bar in the barn and the place stays packed. Yeah. Till the cows come home at Cadillac Ranch.
You can't have too much music for shows like this, which is great. You gotta love it. We've been chatting with C.J. Hadley, the editor of Range Magazine, and if you don't get Range Magazine, you should, because the articles are awesome. And it isn't just if you are part of the ranching and farming community. This is for everybody who cares about liberty and freedom and what the government's up to, what they're really up to. You know, so many times people say there isn't anybody in the media telling the truth. Well, here you go.
There you go.
Here you go. We brought you a great spot. Wanted to tell people, too, just a little side note, that on the 24-Hour Patriots website, we'll be putting up the Tea Party, California Tea Party recommendations on voting. So for folks that are going, I don't even know, like the controller, all these other positions, you know, you're not sure who and where. Anyway, we'll post that.
Are we doing the judges?
No judges this time.
Yeah, we got to get on that.
I've kept your ballot secret from you. I've already marked it.
you see how that works?
Yes. Voter fraud.
It's a good thing I'm a strong influence on her.
Oh, my.
I'll give him his ballot when it's time. After I figured out who we're voting for.
I wonder why mine always came previously marked.
I know. Yours. You're like, that's really handy. So anyway, that's on there. It's 24hourpatriots.com, and I've got all the .org.net, so if you forget that part, it's just the number 2, the number 4, H-O-U-R, Patriots. So there you have it. That's the entirety of my announcements. Got a couple minutes. C.J., what do you think the biggest thing...
I really enjoyed your music.
The music's the fun part.
I love your tasty music. It really did me good.
That's Bob for you. That's Bob's influence there.
That's the magic of Bob right there.
He's quiet, but he's a music guy.
Yeah.
Well,
he knows what he's doing.
We've got, the topics are tough. I mean, this stuff is makes you mad. You can't.
It doesn't. It affects California. We often have ranching stories about the border, and the danger to the ranchers on that border. We talk about the plain states, the Rocky Mountain states, the Northwest. We've done quite a bit on timber, and I think some of your listeners would like to see some of those special reports on that. Bruce Vincent is a logger from Libby, Montana. He's got a couple of fabulous stories. It's just amazing. If you just look at the website and just pick and choose what you fancy,
well, all of Northern
California,
there's
something that will help you learn how to vote, maybe, like you're helping them here. I think it would be really nice.
Yeah, Northern California was very, very, very heavily into timber, and most of our mills have been shut down, and I'm hoping that we can get that turned around. But you have had some great stories.
It just decimated our economy here.
Yeah.
Hey, and I should let people know, if you're in Northern California or Southern Oregon, actually, that over in the town of Doris, they used to have the tallest flagpole in the United States. Now they have the second tallest. So look for the really tall flagpole. It's on Highway 97 up there on the way to and or from Tule Lake. Big meeting on wolves today with, I'm sure, somebody who's familiar to CJ, with Jim Beers.
Oh, yes, he's good.
He is awesome. So we're talking about wolves and, stuff like that. It's at 3 o'clock today at their community center. Oh, and on that happy note, I guess we just ran out of time.
CJ, thank you very, very much for coming on. It's been a blast. Keep up the good work with Range Magazine. It's the best one out there.
We will make sure.
Bless your hearts for letting me be there. Thank you so much.
We love it. Everybody snapped up all the issues that you sent us, so we'll keep promoting. Thanks, Bob. Bill?
Aaron?
Aaron? Bill? CJ?
Okay, Sovereign Minds is next. You guys are going to love that one, too. Hang with us.
California Chrome for the Belmont.
Yes! And Down with Mustangs. Barbecue sauce.
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.